भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized, text number 22. Vashamsi jirnani yatha vihaya Vashamsi jirnani yatha vihaya Navani krihnati naro aparani Navani krihnati naro aparani तथा शरीरानि विहाय जीर्णानि तथा शरीरानि विहाय जीर्णानि अन्यानि सम्याति नवानि देहि अन्यानि सम्याति नवानि देहि वसांसि जीर्णानि यथा विहाय नवानि गृह्णाति नरो आपराणि तथा शरीराणि विहाय जीर्णानि अन्यानि सम्याति नवानि देहि वसांसि गार्मेंट्स Jirnani, old and worn out. Yataha, just as. Vihaya, giving up. Navani, new garments. Grihanati, does accept. Naraha, a man. Aparani, others, tatha, in the same way, sharirani, bodies, vihaya, giving up, jirnani, old and useless, anyani, different, Samyati verily accepts. Navani new sets. Dehi the embodied. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Please do repeat with me the translation. As a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. Purport. Change of body by the atomic individual soul is an accepted fact. Even the modern scientists who do not believe in the existence of the soul, but at the same time cannot explain the source of energy from the heart, have to accept continuous changes of body which appear from childhood to boyhood and from boyhood to youth and again from youth to old age. From old age, the change is transferred to another body. This has already been explained in a previous verse, chapter 2:13. Transference of the atomic individual soul to another body is made possible by the grace of the super soul. The super soul fulfills the desire of the atomic soul as one friend fulfills the desire of another. The Vedas, like the Mundaka Upanishad, as well as the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, compare the soul and the super soul to two friendly birds sitting on the same tree. One of the birds, the individual atomic soul, is eating the fruit of the tree, and the other bird, Krishna, is simply watching his friend. Of these two birds, although they are the same in quality, one is captivated by the fruits of material tree, while the other is simply witnessing the activities of his friend. Krishna is the witnessing bird, and Arjuna is the eating bird. Although they are friends, one is still the master and the other is the servant. Forgetfulness of this relationship by the atomic soul is the cause of one's changing position, changing his position from one tree to another, or from one body to another. The jiva soul is struggling very hard on the tree of the material body, but as soon as he agrees to accept the other bird as the supreme spiritual master, as Arjuna agreed to do so by voluntary surrender unto Krishna for instruction, the subordinate bird immediately becomes free from all lamentation. Both the Mundaka Upanishad, 3rd canto, 1st chapter, 2nd verse, and Shvetashvatara Upanishad, 4th chapter, 7th verse, confirm this. Samane vrikshe purusho nimagno anishaya shochati muhya manah jushtam yada pashyati anyam isham asya mahimanam iti vita shokah. Although the two birds are in the same tree, the eating bird is fully engrossed with anxiety and moroseness as the enjoyer of the fruits of the tree. But if in some way or other he turns his face to his friend, the Lord, and knows his glories, at once the suffering bird becomes free from all anxieties. Arjuna has now turned his face towards his eternal friend, Krishna, and is understanding the Bhagavad Gita from him. And thus, hearing from Krishna, he can understand the supreme glories of the Lord and be free from lamentation. Arjuna is advised herewith by the Lord not to lament for the bodily change of his old grandfather and his teacher. He should rather be happy to kill their bodies in the righteous fight so that they may be cleansed at once of all reactions from various bodily activities. One who lays down his life on the sacrificial altar or in the proper battlefield is at once cleansed of bodily reactions and promoted to a higher status of life. So there was no cause for Arjuna's lamentation. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadativa Svadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನ ಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂತ ನಮಸ್ತುತೆ. ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನು ಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರಿಯ ವಾಂಚ ಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೈವ ಚ ಪತಿತನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ್ ಶಿವಾಸ್ ಆದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. By the supreme potency of the Supreme Lord and Srila Prabhupada and his unlimited mercy, every single verse of Srimad Bhagavad Gita and the wonderful purport that Srila Prabhupada has given on every single verse has the potency to deliver us from this material life. That's the beauty of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. Every single verse. In this particular verse, Lord Krishna is explaining, as a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. Whenever a particular topic is intricate and difficult, an analogy is used to explain it. So, if an analogy appears in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, it means that Lord Krishna is trying to simplify it for Arjuna to understand it, as well as for us to understand it. Because the matter or the subject matter of spirit and body is difficult to realize. It is also difficult in the common world for people to understand or accept this topic. Most people, if we were to ask, "Who are you?" they would associate themselves with a particular name, a particular body, and the relationships which are arising from that body. But how often do we find in a common place that somebody would say, when you ask them, "Who are you?" somebody would say, "I am a Jivatma. I am the servant of Lord Shri Krishna." If we were to receive such a response, we will all be amazed. Most often people don't speak. Most often people don't speak because the larger population in this world does not recognize or even know that they're a spirit soul. But all of us who are in the movement of Srila Prabhupada, within the shelter of ISKCON, have the great opportunity that from the moment we open Srimad Bhagavad Gita or any of Srila Prabhupada's books, we get to understand one of the most complicated, most difficult subject matters, which is that within this large body that you and I may have, there is a spirit spark, a very small, tiny spiritual spark, which is myself. Now, the analogy is given that when, just as a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the spirit soul puts on new garments or a new body, giving up the previous body. In the previous discussion, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, a verse arises for which Srila Prabhupada has translated it in English in this particular purport, which is, "Dehino asmin yatha dehe Kaumaram yauvanam jara tatha deha antir praptir dhiras tatra nam huyati." So It's written, changes of the body which appear from childhood to boyhood and from boyhood to youth and again from youth to old age. From old age the change is transferred to another body. Most often, let's go back to the analogy. Why do we change our clothes? It's written here, giving up the old ones. Yes? We acquire new clothes which are attractive looking. Very, very nice. We go out in the market, buy the best dhoti, buy the best saris, what is new in the market, fresh ones. And we tend to give up the old ones. Now, how often do we find that while giving up the old dhoti or the old kurta or old saris or dresses in the case of ladies, do you find somebody weeping very, very profusely, very sad and crying loudly, oh, why is my dhoti going away? I don't want to give this dhoti away. I don't want to give this kurta away. Just clinging on to it. We don't, yeah? Happily, we'll find the next deserving person. We'll say, oh, where is the person who helps in the house? Just give this dhoti, kurta and the dress to this person. Very easily. No moroseness, no anxiety. We are happy to acquire the new garments. But when it comes to giving up the body, what happens? So much shock. So much, the word shock, yeah, shock and shock. So much lamentation for the person who's leaving the body. It is explained in the scriptures that if you are not conscious of the Lord, if you're not Krishna conscious, it is explained as the most anxious situation you can ever imagine to be in. Why? Because everything that you have known yourself to be in this life, everything, your personal existence and the existence of everybody else around you, if you're married, your wife, your children, your mother and father, your friends, everybody looked at this body. And when you think, if you're not Krishna conscious, when you're living up this body, everything that you have performed to please everybody around you, dhan, yavan, putra, parijan, ethe ki ache paratitire, kamala dalajala, jivana talamala, bhajo hu haripada nitire. Every single thing is gonna be disconnected. For how long? Is it going to be disconnected like we go on a trip from Mayapur outside, or we going from our native place? Let's say we're working somewhere, going on a business trip or a yatra, and we say bye-bye to our family members and we say, oh, I'm going for 15 days. Still there is a little bit of anxiety and sadness. But this time when we leave, at the time of death, there is no coming back. There is no coming back. All the efforts put in, finished. And so much moroseness. Everybody's crying. The Jivatma, there is no other situation which can be more anxious for the Jivatma than this one. That's why Lord Krishna is spending time in explaining to Arjuna that think, O Arya, O intelligent person, think about it. It's just like changing a dress and you're acquiring a new one. You should be happy because you're acquiring a new dress. Why is he explaining all of this? Well, the background is, as we all know, up till now, Arjuna was extremely anxious, very morose, very sad because he had to fight. He was supposed to fight with his great-grandfather. He was supposed to fight with his gurus. And he wasn't ready to do that because he felt if he was to kill them, they will die. And Lord Krishna was explaining, no, they are not going to die. They are going to take on new bodies and you should be happy about it because they are going to give up their old bodies. In this translation, a word is used, old and use less ones. And one has to think about it. When Yudhishthira Maharaj was asked this question, this is a very famous question he was asked. He was asked, what was the most amazing thing that you have come across? And if he was to not give the correct answer, he would also be slain. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, well, the most wonderful thing is that every day we all get to know, hear or see that somebody that we know or acquainted with is leaving their body or has left their body. But every single one of us thinks that I am gonna live forever. Isn't it bewildering? So you see something in front of you happening day after day. You keep hearing it. If you pick up any of these useless newspapers, they're all just filled with X person died, followers person killed. If you were to take the count of number of people who are killed, well, the proof is there. People are leaving their body. But Yudhishthira Maharaj said, the most wonderful thing is we are all thinking, I am gonna live forever. What did he mean by that? What does it mean? It means that we are always planning how to acquire more and more facilities for this body. Continuously planning for that. Yeah. Prabhupada said, this body or this life is similar to a person who has a sword hanging at the top of his head with a very thin thread. A heavy sword hanging with a very thin thread can fall at any moment. But the person is just busy enjoying. Lord Krishna is, through the example of Arjuna, trying to give us transcendental intelligence. He is giving us the intelligence by which we can try to understand our life as it is. And what is the nature of this life and this material world? Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. Two words. Don't need a very long explanation. It's summarized in Srimad Bhagavad Gita that this world is full of miseries and it is temporary. So, if you are sometimes very happy, which we are, there are instances where because of our pious karma, we become very happy, we get good results of our karma. Please remember the second part, which is ashashvatam, temporary. Remember it. That's the summary given in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. That's how Lord Krishna is trying to explain to Arjuna. Please understand this point. Now, what is going to happen? Why is this point about us not being a body, why is it such an important point? Is it going to make a big difference in our life? Yes. It's going to give us a quantum leap, the physicists say, quantum leap. Which means it's going to make an immense difference in our life. There's a reason why Bhagavad Gita progresses chronologically from one chapter after the other, one chapter after the other. The first instruction that Lord Krishna gives to Arjuna, he tells him, Arjuna, you're not this body, you're a spirit soul. Once we understand this point that we are the spirit soul and we start living our life on that platform that we are a spirit soul, then we have a chance of making progress in the spiritual life. As long as we think that we are this material body, we have chances of progressing in material life, but very little chance of making any progress in spiritual life. spiritual life begins with the understanding that I am a spirit soul. Now the behavior of a person who thinks himself to be a spirit soul is different from a person who thinks himself to be this material body. A person who thinks himself to be material body, his whole life, his world around, Shita Atapa Pata Parishana Edina Jamini Jagire Vipale Sevinu Kripana Durjana. So serving the miserly, day and night working very, very hard. Doesn't matter whether it's summer season, very hot, or cold season, winter, doesn't matter. Day and night working very hard. Because attached to this Bifala Sevinu, there is no fruit, but it appears like that. Appears like that. Srila Prabhupada also explains in this purport a few very wonderful things. He says, he describes here, the eating bird is fully engrossed with anxiety and moroseness as the enjoyer of the fruits of the trees. Always full of anxiety. Prabhupada has explained in many of his classes, and he says, a Krishna conscious person is prafullito. He's ever blissful. Always blissful. And we need to observe ourselves. Are we always blissful? Or is anxiety and moroseness taking over us? If anxiety and moroseness is taking over us, then according to this explanation, it means that we are trying to enjoy the fruits of the tree. Which means that we are trying to engage in sense gratification. Which means that our mentality is that what I am doing, Ishvara aham aham bhogi. I am the master and I am the enjoyer. This is material platform. Because in the same purport on the Upanishads, it is given that although they are friends, one is still the master and the other is the servant. As long as we consider ourselves the masters, it means it brings upon us the responsibility of taking care of everything around us. Because we are the master, so we have to organize everything, we have to take care of everything around us. And we're always thinking, oh, how do I make a nice house? So how do I collect more money? And how do I do X, Y, Z, our wish list? On the other hand, a servant is dependent on the master. That's the distinguishing factor. So we are all supposed to be servants of Lord Shri Krishna. That's our true nature. That's our constitutional position. Which means that we have to depend on the Lord. Internally, that mood should arise. As we chant the holy name, as we read Srimad Bhagavad Gita, through the knowledge that we acquire, a natural renunciation should arise. What sort of renunciation should we have? Should we have the renunciation of the monists or the impersonalists? No. The renunciation that a devotee of Lord Krishna acquires is a renunciation where he renounces his dependency on the material world and the facilities of the material world. But rather, he increases his dependency. He doesn't renounce everything. He renounces everything material. But he develops one lobha, one attachment. Only one attachment is permitted, and that is the attachment to the service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That attachment is permitted. And the beauty of this attachment? No more moroseness, no more anxiety. And who's guaranteeing this? Well, Lord Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who takes care of everything. He's the creator, he's the maintainer, and he's the destroyer through his expansions of this material world, assures us, guarantees this, that if you were to depend upon me, I will take care of it. Sarvam dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshyami ma sachaha. Towards the end, he concludes by saying this. He explains this. And he says this. So, we as devotees try to practice Krishna consciousness. We have to gradually develop this mood of dependence on the Lord. And we can measure our level of development in Krishna consciousness, whether we're progressing well or not, to see clearly within our heart whether that attachment and that dependence on the Lord is increasing or not. Prabhupada spoke in 1972 in Hyderabad on this verse, and he mentioned many beautiful points when he was describing this verse, and I like to share a few of those points that I can remember. And Prabhupada starts his explanation by saying, he says that do not identify yourself as Indians, Americans, Russians, and from Andhra Pradesh. Don't think about this body as yourself. Because he was giving this lecture in Hyderabad in Andhra Pradesh, so he says, don't, this is just the garment, this is just the skin. And he explains, he said, as long as you recognize or associate yourself with this skin and this body, it will give rise to conflict. Because when you associate yourself with the body, you want to fulfill your desires, there is limited facility, two people want the same thing, and there will be fight and conflict. And Prabhupada then explains in his nice lecture, he talks about the conflict, people associating themselves as Indians, some people associating themselves as Pakistanis, and they're having a conflict. And he gives a very nice example, and he makes a very funny remark. He says, imagine this. So you are from another country, let's say you're from Pakistan, and you're fighting, you're on the battlefield, and you really want to kill the Indians. Prabhupada is giving in his saying in his lecture, you really want to kill the Indians, and you're continuously thinking about, oh the Indians, I want to kill them. Prabhupada actually spoke, he said, about Pakistanis. You're fighting the battle, you're thinking about, I'm an Indian, he's the Pakistani, I've got to kill him, and the bullet comes and hits you, and you're about to die, and you're thinking about, I want to kill the Pakistani, and what happens? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ant kalevaram tam tam evati kaunteya sada tat bhavam bhavita. So whatever state of mind you remember at the time of death, that very state of body you will get in your next life. So you come as a Pakistani because you're thinking about it at the time of death, so you get that body. So you become who you wanted to kill. That's how temporary this is. And Prabhupada makes so many wonderful points in that lecture. He talks about, he gives very good instructions to men and women both. And he talks about men, he says, it's expected that through our life we should develop detachment from our family, as we progress with years, there is a system of brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyas. We should develop detachment. But if you don't, if at the time of death you're thinking about your wife, then what will happen? You will get the body of a woman in your next life. And then he gives another example, and he said, so he's giving us instruction that as devotees we should develop detachment over a period of time, so that who do we think about? Antakale chamameva smaran muktva kalevaram yaha prayati samadbhavam yati na asti etra samshaya. What Lord Krishna promises, he says, whoever thinks of me at the time of death, antakale chamameva smaran muktva kalevaram, and leaves this body remembering me, he is sure to come back to me. And in this there is no doubt. Again, an assurance coming from Lord Krishna himself. Yeah? No doubt. So we are all supposed to prepare for that test. Man should not think about the wife. He should also think about the Lord. We have to train ourselves like that. And that's our main goal. Everybody's goal is we all chant Krishna Prema so that we can go back home, back to Goloka Vrindavan. We can only achieve that if at the time of death we're thinking about the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna. And Prabhupada also explains that, he says, similarly, a chaste woman, a woman who is very dutiful to his, to her husband, is given the opportunity. If she's always thinking about her husband, what will happen? At the time of death, if she's thinking about serving her husband, then she will get in next life the body of a man, which is supposed to be providing more facilities to practice Krishna consciousness or practice dharma, and then she will go to a higher grade of life. Even in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says, one who lays down his life on the sacrificial altar or in the proper battlefield is at once cleansed of bodily reactions and promoted to a higher status of life. So previously, when yajñas were performed properly, the animals who were sacrificed in the yajña would automatically get a higher grade of life. They will become human beings, or maybe higher. Similarly, a human being who performs his dharma. So in this case, the instruction is given to Arjuna, whose dharma as a kshatriya is to fight in the battle. And Prabhupada uses the word righteous, and I'll come back to this. So he says to Arjuna, who has to perform his dharma, if he was to perform this dharma, he will get a higher grade of life, which is heavenly planets. So similarly, by performing, each one of us, if we were to perform a dharma in the framework of karma kanda, then we will get higher status of life. As devotees, we can get the best gati, the best destination, which is, whether man or woman, small child or a grown up, irrespective of our body, irrespective of our color, nationality, wealth, we can all go back home, back to Godhead, simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, performing devotional service honestly, sincerely, adhering to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. By performing these things, we can all go back home, back to Godhead. In that particular lecture, Prabhupada also said, righteous battlefield. He said, Bhagavad Gita, some people claim, you know, when they want to perform violence, they claim, oh, Bhagavad Gita said you can kill people. Prabhupada said, no. Bhagavad Gita is not advising or recommending that you should kill people. Rather, righteous battlefield. So the battles or the wars that we have today are not righteous, because they are not for dharma. There is no dharma involved in today's battles. It's all about sense gratification. So let's not be under the illusion that by fighting in those battlefields you're going to get a heavenly body. Absolutely not. No, on righteous battlefield. So with that, I'd like to pause here and request the assembled Vaishnavas to kindly share any comments, thoughts, or any questions that they may have. Hare Krishna. So Prabhu's question is, so what's the point of making friends, even Vaishnava friends, because if at the time of death we're thinking about male body, female body, we may take those bodies. Thank you. So first part of your question is, what's the point of making friends? Yes. So if the second part of your question was not there, then it was an easier question. So second part is Vaishnava friends. So let me say first part. So Govindas Kaviraj, in the bhajan that I was chanting in between, he says, Ethan Yovan Putra Parijan Ethe Ki Ache Parati Tire. He's speaking to his mind and he's saying, oh my mind, the wealth, this youthful body, my children, Parijan, relatives, friends, what's the point? They're all temporary. So you're right, Prabhu. There is no point in developing attachment for friends per se. But when it comes to Vaishnavas, it's a different story. At the time of our death, there is an explanation given that our whole life runs like a fast-forward video reel. Some of us who have gone through the era of VHS tapes, when we used to have tapes and we used to fast forward things, so they used to run very fast. So it is mentioned that at the time of death, our whole life runs like a very fast forward video reel, and wherever it stops, whichever place it stops, sort of consciousness you have, you take that body. If we were to develop relationship with Vaishnavas, what sort of relationship will we develop? If it's a Vaishnava relationship. Vaishnava relationship, as you rightly said, is centered around Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. It is important to evaluate amongst the friends that we have, even devotees, what are we doing when we're with them? Is it centered around the Lord? Is it centered around Shravana, Kirtana, Smarana, Vandana, Pada Sevana, Dasyare? Bhujana Sakhi Jana Atma Nivedana. If it's centered around this, then what will happen? Those Vaishnavas will remind you, simply by looking at them, they will remind you of Lord Krishna. That's the beauty. That's the advantage. That's the glory of Vaishnava relationships. They will remind you of the Lord. They'll remind you of the service of the Lord. And simply by remembering that, so it will be a good fortune if at the time of our death we can remember such a Vaishnava. Think about Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Think about all the Vaishnava devotees who are serving the Lord so nicely. Then there is a small chance that we will be getting a body where we can serve ourselves as a Vaishnava. So that's the merit. But if our relationships are not centered around Lord Vishnu, then it's useless. Thank you. Prabhu, any other comments? Any comments or questions? Yes. Well, there are two methods. One method is just as you do analytical study, and in this chapter in Bhagavad Gita, various examples are given, various analogies are given, but you said practically. So practically also is the same way, which is you look at your photograph when you were a small child and you look at it now and you see, oh, am I the same person? Uh, Yes, it is intellectual and also practical, yeah, because it's not the same body. It is not the same body. So if you look at that body, it is, if my mother was not to come and tell me, hey, this is your photograph from 25 years or 35 years back, you will not be able to recognize it. So it is the different body. But the true renunciation, Prabhu, of understanding that we are not the body, comes when we follow Guru, Sadhu and Shastra from our heart. So not artificial renunciation, but true renunciation arises in the heart of a person who sincerely trying to dedicate his life to serve the Lord. The Lord inspires you through the Shastra, through Guru and Sadhus, and then the natural renunciation arises where you feel this body is useless. Yes, tadami buddhi yogantam hem mam priyantite. Lord Krishna gives. As long as we have the lobha and sincerity. Thank you. I'd like to conclude here as we have run out of time. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is ki, Lord Premanande.